From Isaiah 11, a shoot will come from the stump of Jesse, and a branch will bear fruit from its roots. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and power, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. His delight will be in the fear of the Lord. He won't judge by what his eyes see, nor decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he will judge the needy and decide with equity for the earth's poor. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and the wicked will be killed with the breath of his lips. Righteousness will be the sash around his loins, and faithfulness the belt around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the young goat, the calf and the lion will graze together, and a little child will lead them. The cow and the bear will graze, and their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like an ox. The nursing child will play over the hole of a cobra, and the weaned child will put his hand on viper's dens. They will neither harm nor destroy on my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. At that time, as to the root of Jesse, who will be standing as a banner for the peoples, the nations will rally to him, and his resting place is glorious.
From Romans 15. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may have with one voice glorify God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promise given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the people praise him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
I love the change of the seasons, the cycles of nature. I love the beauty of creation in fall weather, with the splendor of the colors of the leaves changing every week, as the sun falls onto the golden leaves, blazing and showing the full splendor of God's glorious creation. Now the trees are bare, black, bleak, against the gray sky. Everything is stripped away. Nature is looking dead. And I always like it when on Sunday mornings in Advent the weather is gloomy, because it makes the candles shine so much brighter. Winter is about dead time. Nothing seems to be happening. The bare trees wait in stillness. Everything is stripped away, and it calls for a different kind of attention, and it offers a different kind of vision, as we can see beyond the trees what was before hidden by the leaves. And yet nature waits and gathers strength unnoticed to burst forth again with new life in the spring. All the action takes place invisibly in the roots. Society seems to be doing the opposite during this season. As we clutter our lives with sounds and sights and activities. Advent is the season of dramatic contrast between the bright lights of Christmas that are put up following Thanksgiving and the Advent songs and scriptures of waiting, of watching, of longing. Between the shopping madness starting Black Friday and Advent's invitation to wait quietly for Christ's return. Between the vision of peace in Isaiah 11, where the lion and the lamb lie down together, and our newspaper headlines proclaiming the dark reality of the world we live in. Advent is a time to sit in that in-between time, in this tension and wait. Wait for the coming of God, for we need him to come into the brokenness and mess of our lives, of our world. Advent is a time to watch for signs of God's presence, to lean into the hope as we long for God to come again, to bring healing, to bring light, while we lament the darkness we find within and around us. And so we wait. We wait with hope. We believe that God is at work, that something is happening, taking shape in our lives, in our communities, in our world, that a branch is growing out of a stump. For we know deep down within that God has come and will come again and is coming again and again and again. And so we wait. Advent simply means coming. And that's what we wait for as we prepare and anticipate for that is not yet here or even visible. This is sometimes called liminal space. The word liminal derives from the Latin term for threshold, signifying a state of being on the doorstep, not quite in, not quite out. In one of my readings, Richard Rohr is calling liminal space a unique spiritual position where human beings hate to be, but where the biblical God is always leading them. When you are between your old comfort zone and any possible new answer. When I think of God making something new, I think of something warm and cozy, linear, good news, leading upward. I don't think of new life coming out of a stump. But when we take a peek at what is ahead, at the Christmas story, we see stumped people living in liminal space. Zechariah was mute for months. Elizabeth's life was turned upside down in old age. A baby now? The good news Mary received meant the death sentence in her day and age. And Joseph thought his bright future had ended as well, until the angel came to him three times and filled him in on what was going on. The Messiah did not come in power and might, but was born as a tiny, vulnerable baby into homelessness, hunted by the powers that were, and driven into exile the first years of his life. Maybe the most important aspect of Isaiah's vision is that it grows out of a stump. God is making something out of the impossible. God is stripping the people of their expectation to bring about something beyond their imagination. The challenge is to stand in that unknowing space and hold faith with the journey. In the midst of conflicting feelings of confusion, anxiety, restlessness, and excitement. And it is in the words of the prophet Isaiah that this tension is held. Richard Rohr says, "If you're not trained in how to hold anxiety, how to live with ambiguity, how to entrust and wait, you will run. Anything to flee. To allow All the discomfort of longing, hoping, and wanting in the liminal space requires courage and a willingness to tolerate a great deal of tension. It feels like much in our country and in the church, maybe in our lives, finds itself in that tension at the moment. The old has died, but the new has not yet come. As we try to discern what is emerging, and as we are trying to find our way through. Recently, I came across an article in the Mennonite about Franconia Mennonite Conference and Eastern District exploring reconciliation after 169 years. It says, in a countercultural move for Anabaptists, two conferences that split 169 years ago are beginning to test the possibility of a reunion. In 1847, the two conferences were trying to express the meaning of the church in two opposite practices of communion. Franconia by requiring that include acknowledgement of a lengthy code of rules and be limited to people of like precious faith. Eastern by inviting Christians to approach the Lord's Supper after consulting their private consciences. Goes on. The reasons for the division were complex. So too will be any process we undertake toward reconciliation. Yet in recent decades there has been a stirring of the spirit for reconciliation throughout both conferences. Together, the conferences will form a reference team representing the breadth and depth of each conference's diversity. In January, the reference team will begin to meet with David Brookbaker and Roxy Kiyoko from Eastern Mennonite University in Harrisonburg. They will help lead a process of information gathering to lead, hopefully, to reconciliation. One of the real hurdles, it ends with, is our conference identities. Are we going to be okay with giving up our identities to create something new? As humans, can we identify with the kingdom of God and hold that as a priority versus a sense that I've always been a part of Eastern District or Franconia Mennonite? There seems to be a sense of excitement and anticipation about this right now. I haven't heard any naysaying at this point. For the most part, we're just all waiting to see what happens with this process, and we are excited about it. The more we do things together, the more natural it feels. This is Advent work. Waiting, watching, leaning into the discomfort with anticipation and expectation for God to birth something new. This is a shoot growing out of a 169-year-old stump. This testimony of the church to the power of God's Spirit reaches back to the vision of Isaiah, where the Lord's Spirit endows a descendant of Jesse with the gifts necessary for the building of a peaceable kingdom. During the time of Isaiah, God's people found themselves in that liminal space between the stump of Jesse and the promise of a branch growing. The first chapters of the book of Isaiah fluctuate between dire predictions of destruction and profound promises of salvation. Between harsh words about the people's iniquity, their failure to keep the covenant, and great culmination of the promises that God will provide salvation for his people. Between their straying after idols and abandonment of the one true God in favor of the latest fashion, and God's faithfulness like a deep underground spring. Jesse was the father of David, and Israel had placed their hopes in that family line. God had, after all, promised David that his family tree would flourish, that one of his descendants would always sit on Israel's throne. As Isaiah writes our text, however, that promise looks shaky at best. The once towering leafy family tree of David's dynasty is dying. Armies and empires have reduced it to a dead stump. God, however, directs Isaiah's eyes to a tiny green branch growing out of that lifeless stump. God gives the prophet a vision of life and hope. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Do you remember how David was chosen king and anointed by Samuel? But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on an outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." It was the most improbable sons of Jesse who was chosen. "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." Kings needed wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and the fear of the Lord, to make fair decisions and to judge in peace and righteousness. We remember Solomon, who asked for a wise and understanding heart. We remember when he judges between two mothers who came to him with an infant, and how Solomon discovered the truth in that fight over the child. And this scripture tells us it was recognized in Israel that God's wisdom was in him to speak justly. Wisdom is skill and knowledge applied to practical action. Understanding is the capacity for discernment. Counsel and might are needed to carry out those decisions, to have the power. And they are connected with the Spirit of God, so that the king's rule will serve not earthly power, but the will of God in implementing righteousness on this earth. Knowledge and fear of the Lord, the last pair in the Spirit-led gifts, acknowledges the self-limitation of our knowledge and power, and that they are subject to God. For the Hebrews, knowing and knowledge are not just an intellectual process, but they include the whole person. God carries out his work in the Old Testament through his Spirit. And the gifts of the Spirit are needed to build and sustain community. Wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, attentive to the fear of the Lord. Isaiah holds the vision of the future peace in God's life-giving, world-forming, despair-ending power and Spirit, creating utter newness. This Spirit of God is irresistible, beyond human control or predictability. Isaiah announces that that Spirit has come to blow over the stump. The Spirit will prevail, for the stump is not mentioned again. The little shoot of David's line that is so insignificant as to be unnoticed, that little shoot will be invaded and occupied by the Spirit and transformed. There are currently two international visitor exchange persons through MCC in Harrisonburg, Virginia. They're both from Columbia. One works at the Artisan's Hope, 10,000 Villages store, and the other works at EMU. The country of Colombia finds itself in liminal space. They've been at civil war for over 50 years. It's a complicated conflict between groups that has led to many deaths and displacements. One of these IVEPers, Aida Maria Villalobos, shared about this at an MCC board meeting. She says, every Colombian, regardless of where he or she is, has been directly or indirectly a victim of this war. Early in the fall, a peace agreement was presented after several years of dialogue. The agreement would only become valid if Colombians voted to approve the accords. The Mennonite Church worked tirelessly to support these agreements, partnering with both public and private organizations. However, there were also parts in this agreement that many people disagreed with, and so the vote ended 49.78% yes, 50.21% no. But that is not the end of history, Aida says. Thousands of Colombians are together calling for peace and asking the government not to throw away the agreements, with demonstrations worldwide. Then, unexpectedly, the international community gave the Nobel Peace Prize to Colombia's President Santos as a symbol of support for the construction of the long-awaited hope for peace. There are winds of peace. At the same time, we experience the hurricane of war. I don't only speak of Colombia, but of the world in general. That is the stark reality in which we live. And it is worth it to put all our efforts into building the reality of a better tomorrow. We have to humanize the relations between us. We need less cutthroat competition and more solidarity, compassion, and cooperation among all of us. For peace to be possible, we have an obligation that compels us to become multipliers of peaceful actions, creators of renewed opportunities, in which, in addition to hope, people are reunited with peace and fear is lessened. Although there are many more nonviolent people in our world, the violent ones have cornered us, making us lose our daily tranquility with a collective fear that paralyzes us and silences us. I invite you in everything you do to take the time to look others in the eye, to hear the music behind the words of the speaker, to put yourself in their shoes, to share their dreams, to understand their fears, and discover their capabilities. I invite you to have a genuine interest in the people who are part of our daily life, to work together, and to understand that hope is stronger than fear, that compassion is stronger than anger, and that our commitments can exceed any indifference. I invite you to ask God to help us remove all these borders announcing the good news that Jesus proclaimed. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse. God's Advent word comes to sit with us. The shoot that is growing would be different from what the people expected. As Isaiah says later in chapter 53, for he grew up before them like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. And in that hope, in that expectation, we stand as God's chosen one, Emmanuel, draws near. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.